Friday Night Wine Fight contains coarse language and adult themes. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
Welcome to Friday Night Wine Fight.
I'm Sarah.
I'm Amy.
And I'm Bianca. We are three Melbourne girls who had nothing better to do, nothing, than start a podcast while we're all living the vida loca. But for now, we're free. Yay.
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 I mean, say that with such trepidation because you never know what tomorrow's going to bring.
We don't. If we talk any hotter, only dogs will understand us. So, we take aim at one topic each week with a bowl or three of wine, and we try to make some sense of it.
And each other.
And each other, definitely. So, lady, what are we all drinking tonight?
So, tonight I'm drinking the leftover blackberry cider that I had in my fridge.
Ooh.
Five, six bottles down already.
Ooh!
So,
somebody's pre-gaming.
It's warm.
And it's not me today. Hey.
So what are you drinking, Amy?
Yeah, feet on the ground, Pinot Grigio, because today in Melbourne it is a balmy 23, and I have been outside running around like a lunatic with my child at Auskick. And I thought, it's warm. White wine. Yes, this will be your last chance. Do it. So I did.
Yeah.
It will be my last chance, I feel. I don't think this balmy weather's going to last. So, yeah, might as well pretend it's summer. What are you drinking, Bianca?
I'm drinking my Hendrix gin, my summer solstice, because I just really, really felt like gin today because it was so warm. I'm like, yeah. Some gin and tonic. Yeah. So, yes. So, Sarah, what is our topic for tonight?
Well, our topic tonight is underrated movies. So we all have one or two movies that we love, but feel that it doesn't get the recognition that it deserves.
Mm-hmm.
Whether because of bad reviews, lack of publicity, or that people may just not understand it the way you do, or the way you want them to.
Yes!
Some people aren't as broken as me, I found. Yeah.
So I actually found a list of some underrated movies that had been, you know, voted with. So I'm just going to read out a couple from the list.
Mm-hmm.
Constantine.
Oh, yes.
I never would have thought that was underrated.
Me same. Either. I thought it was great.
Yeah.
I watched it for Funsies.
Yeah.
Yeah, same. I also watch it for Keanu Reeves reasons as well.
Yeah. That's the main reason.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty much the main reason.
Shia LaBeouf, like,
no.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
so good.
No.
Not as much as Keanu Reeves, so.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, yeah.
So, Robin Hood, Men in Tights.
Yes.
How is that underrated? I've never met anyone. Actually, I've met one person that has not loved that movie.
Oh, I was talking about it today, actually, at work, too, and my co-worker, because, like, I said my cactus is named Blinken because it's a bleeding Picasso, and she looked at me, and I was like, you know, from Robin Hood, Men in Tights, where they dress up as women. And I had to go through the whole thing. And then we discovered he's probably watched it once and was like, eh. I was like, what?
I reckon I've seen that maybe 67 million times. And in the Robin Hood episode that we did a couple of weeks ago, I forgot to mention when Bianca said, who's your favourite Robin Hood? And both Sarah and I said, Kerry Ulls. Yeah. I should have said, because he, unlike other Robin Hoods, speaks with a British accent.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Crimson Peak.
What's that one?
That was okay. I saw it at cinema. I have it on Blu-ray, I think.
I enjoyed it.
What's it about?
So it's about Tom Hiddleston being naked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, I definitely have not seen that. I have seen The Crimson Tide, which was underrated and I thought was amazing, but yeah.
That was the plot I watched it for.
Yeah, that was totally. A man, he's in search of a wife, she's in search of a husband, but he's got a dark secret in his family and the house that they live in.
Ooh, yeah, it doesn't
matter. So, yeah, it's a gothic horror. It's not a horror. It's a gothic horror.
Yeah, I went to see that with my, at the time, 16-year-old daughter and my 65-year-old co-worker. That was kind of awkward.
That's a bit awkward.
Hey, wasn't I there too?
Yes. Yes, you were.
I was there too.
Well, it's not so awkward if you go there for naked reasons and Sarah's there. Sarah and I do a lot of things for naked reasons, so, you know.
I thought you were there. I'm so sorry.
Hang on, I was there. Fucking rude. Forget that I'm places. Okay. The next one, moving on from Bianca's rudeness, God, I tell you. Death Becomes Her.
Oh.
Now, I love that movie.
Not talking to you, we head on straight.
Oh, my God. There's a hole in my stomach.
Yeah.
Even Keely's having his two cents.
Yeah, even he's having his two cents. Oh, God, it's probably a leap.
Lady, that the combination of Goldie Hawn and Meryl Streep is not on everybody's top 10 list.
I know.
And Bruce Willis.
There was another one, The Frighteners.
Oh, I love that one.
I can't remember it.
Oh,
so it's Michael J. Fox, yeah, and he can see dead
people.
That's
right.
Yeah.
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 And then he goes to that, like, hospital thing, and there's, like, those two serial killers, and he thinks that the guy's, like, the worst one. It's actually Jake Busey. He's one of my favorites. Yes. And he's like, oh, my God, you're the bad one. No, it's not. Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I always used to get those two mixed up. It was The Frighteners and Heart and Soul.
Okay. So different.
Yeah.
So different, but they came out at the same time.
Head like, fucking hell.
And the actors, because I was so young when they came out.
Robert Downey Jr. and Michael J. Fox are totally different people.
Very much so. But as a young child, I can remember that.
My sister went and saw it, and she was like real little. She loved it. It was her favorite movie.
It's
like early 90s, and Frighteners is like late 90s, I feel, but I could be wrong.
Was it?
Yeah.
Well, they were both early 90s.
No, because my sister was born in 91, and I swear she would have been about 8 when she saw it.
Yeah, Frighteners was like...
Here's Wonderwall. So, yeah, listeners, let us know what you think of these movies. If you have any underrated movies that you would like to chip in to that list, let us know.
Frighteners@gmail.com. Or Twitter, Facebook, Tumblr.
Let Amy just talk over me. It's fine.
Yeah. Welcome to the party, pal.
Okay, so I'll move on to one of my favourite movies that I feel is underrated. And as we all know, I like to watch cartoons, so I'm not going to, you know, deviate from this.
Okay, cool, no doubt.
So,
yeah.
Sarah has a deep ingrained Peter Pan syndrome. Yes.
Yes, I do. And I'll stick with it. Served me well, so far. Yeah. So, Meet the Robinsons.
I'm in it.
Okay, let me start that again. This is a Disney cartoon. The 47th animated film that was released in 2007. Its budget was $150 million, and
it's
nice. Yeah, and it grossed $169.3 million worldwide.
Okay.
Which is not a big deal there. So I was kind of a bit shocked because I fucking love that movie.
Yeah. It's got that Rob Thomas song.
Yeah. So one of the things I love about this movie is the animation. So it is computer animated and it's really beautiful. The colors, the way they've designed the city, it's just a beautifully animated movie. Like with the main character, Lewis, with his hair.
Yeah.
You can see just the little strands just floating around on their own. They're just doing their own fucking thing. It's great.
Yeah.
I love it. So the whole storyline is, you know, you got your orphan who loves to invent, and he's trying to find his birth mother when he meets a kid who is after a crazy man in a bowler hat, as they always are. And he's from the future. Then takes Yeah, the kid from the future, Wilbur, pretty sure his name was, takes Lewis, main character, to the future to stop Bowler Hat Guy. During this time, he meets with Wilbur's family, who are absolutely out there and quite a bit crazy. This family.
I love it.
Yes.
Little bit.
The family is amazing. It's the family you've always wanted. You know, they're crazy. They race trains with, you know, people shot out of cannons.
They are literally a tent away from being a full-blown fucking circus. Much like my own family.
They have a giant squid monster and everything. Who's a butler? Very good butler, too. So, yeah, it's the type of family you want. Another thing I do like about this movie is it's funny. It is so funny.
So funny.
Especially with the running joke about the villain, Goob, who never seems to think his plans through to the end before executing them, which is one of the main lines that says to him, I don't know how well this plan was thought through. My hand is so big and my arms are so little.
That dinosaur, for anyone listening, that dinosaur who's stuck and he's like, just get him, and he can't because his head's so big, his arm's so little, he actually can't get at the kid, and he says this to the villain. Yeah, we call Bianca T-Rex for this reason, because her head's so big and her arm's so little, she can't reach things.
Yes, 100%.
Yeah.
And grabby sticks. I'll be unstoppable.
So the movie has a lot of, like, personal growth and, like, coming to understand oneself.
Mm.
And I think a lot of kids don't pick up on that when they're watching it.
Yeah, it's like if you make a mistake, something fails, keep moving forward.
Which is actually a line at the end of the movie. It has, like, a little quote that has the term keep moving forward in it. And it was actually said by Walt Disney.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit of a tribute to Walt Disney there. But yeah, a lot of kids never picked up on, you know, that emotional part to it and just like the little underlying things to it. And I felt that as an adult rewatching it for the 174th million time, you do tend to pick up a lot more.
Yeah.
And, you know, it just becomes that slight bit more emotional.
Yeah, especially the bit with the kid that he shares the room with, like, because to be perfectly honest, I felt so sorry for this kid.
His
roommate, who's the main character, has clearly got his head up his ass and he's too busy doing his own thing that he basically wrecks the life of his freaking roommate and doesn't give two fucks. And then at the end he goes, this is why you don't be an asshole. And then they go back and fix it. So it's fine. Yeah. This is why you don't be an asshole.
I picked that up as an adult. I love how you just turned the main character into an asshole.
He is, though, in that particular instance.
Well, yeah, that's the whole reason why Groob grew up to be the bowler hat man, to go to destroy him.
No, it's because he didn't move on. He let his friggin' failure, consume him. That was the whole fucking point.
Yeah, but he wouldn't have failed if he had got the, you know, be able to get the sleep, etc.
Still, if you fail, keep moving forward.
The main character realized that the impact that he could have on another human, it's not just about him, and he goes back and fixes it. I understand that. Yeah, and I liked that bit because I thought, yes, this is a good don't be an asshole message.
Yeah.
Yeah, Goob's the best. Like, Goob's better than the main character.
Yeah, it's funny life.
So, and as Bianca mentioned earlier, it does have Rob Thomas with that song, These Little Wonders, at the end, which, yes, chokes me up every time I hear it. It is on my Spotify playlist.
Let it go.
Wrong song.
It's beautiful. No, it is. That's the start. That's the start. Anyway, we'll look it up later.
Yeah. I'm telling you now, you're wrong. So, yeah, I feel this is underrated just because kids don't understand. And I don't recall a big hype about it when it was released.
No, me either.
Yeah. There was no big hype like there is with, you know, the more popular Disney movies. So, yeah, that's my bit. And I am going to add another quick little one. Clue. The movie Clue. Does anyone know this movie?
I have it because it was my childhood favorite movie. I love this film.
It's amazing.
Oh my god, Bianca, next time you come here, we're watching it. It's so good.
Yeah.
Is that the one where Captain America is wearing like the Christmas jumper?
No.
Nah. So it's basically based on Cluedo with Tim Curry in it.
Yeah, isn't that it?
No. It was done in the 80s.
Oh. Then what was the one that was recent?
Knives Out.
Know. Was that? Oh, Knives Out. Yeah. That's the one I'm thinking of.
Yeah, nah.
Which I have not seen either.
No, it's actually, well, it's Clue, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I'll watch it. I'm down.
Yeah, I've got it, mate. We'll watch it next time you come around.
Yeah, done.
Putting it out there, These Little Wonders by Rob Thomas, the first lyric is Let It Go. Eat dicks. I was right.
Okay.
You sung it like the crap one, though.
Let it go.
Yeah, see?
Right off your shoulder, don't you know, the hardest part is over. Yeah, I didn't know any of that until I just read it off the screen. So I just knew the first bit, so fuck off.
All right, Bianca, what are your movies?
My movie tonight is The Adventures of Ford Fairlane, a Rock and Roll Detective.
Yes, please.
Yes, one of the most underrated movies. I'll give a brief synopsis of the movie. It's because it's too good to like give away too much of it. Like, and fuck all the haters. Fuck y'all. I am not even going into how bad the reviews are of this movie because this is my time. And it is not a bad film. It's just underrated. So here goes. Here's the synopsis. To the Los Angeles elite, Ford Fairlane is known as Mr. Rock and Roll Detective. This loudmouth ladies' man serves an exclusive rock star clientele who depend on his keen eye and smug discretion. So when a heavy metal musician dies mid-concert, Fairlane is on the case before the lights come up. But things turn shocking when radio personality Johnny Crunch hires Fairlane to find a missing groupie mere hours before he is electrocuted live on air.
Oh, shit, my Christ.
I'm going to get to those. So the cast is absolutely amazing. So you've got comedian Andrew Dice Clay as the main character, Ford Fairlane. You've got Wayne Newton as Julian Grendel. Priscilla Presley as Colleen Sutton. Lauren Holly as Jazz. Brendan Cole, who I don't know, it doesn't, but anyway, he's the kin. And then Maddie Corman as Zuzu Petals, David Patrick Kelly as Sam Sleazebag, Morris Day as Don Cleveland, Robert Englund as Smiley, and everybody knows him, like Freddy Krueger.
Yeah.
And he's just as creepy in this fucking movie too. I mean, the name Smiley says it all. Mm-hmm. Ed O'Neill as Lieutenant Amos, or as Paul calls him, yes, Lieutenant Anus. Gilbert Gottfried, as Johnny Crunch. Vince Neil as Bobby Black. William Shockley and M. Russell Zulk as the Punk Gunslingers. Steve White as Detective Benny. Carrie Cody Jarrett. Almost said Jodie Carrot. Anyway. Hello, Jim. As Kyle Troy. Keela E. as Love Singer. Lala as Sorority Girl. Delilah Shepherd as Josie. Torin Locke as Slam. And I fucking love Torin Locke. And Kurt Loder plays himself. Yeah. But look, the real reason this movie is so fucking good is because of all the one-liners. And so I've just picked out a few of what I feel are the best. This first one is said by Ford Fairlane.
Do the voice. And
I can't even. I was practicing. I fucking can't do it. Oh, God. I'm trying to get into character. It's not working. Could have been a rock singer. If only I hadn't been banned from MTV. Long story. But anyway, I only know that one song. Well, I do mean Puff the Magic Dragon, but only in the nude. Longer story. I love it. Don Cleveland's line Amy and I say this when we see a chick in a short dress.
You or a very, 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 very tight dress.
Yeah. You got to shave before you leave the house in a dress like that. And I don't mean your leg. Oh, God. And I love the classic one from Ford. Have a Twinkie, snap ahead. And I've got a couple of good back and forth from but Lieutenant Amos and Ford Fairlane.
Oh, do you want us to play one of them?
Do you want to be Lieutenant Amos?
Yep, sure.
All right, go for that.
You call one. Me an asshole, asshole.
No, I'm calling you an anus, anus.
Two words. Disco Express.
Disco Express. They blew dog. That lead singer kind of looked like...
Like me, right?
Yeah, I was going to say it looked like shit, but yeah, it looked like you. I love it. Oh, this one's classic. So, oh, God, this is in a recording studio, and this guy was recording his new album, and he was like, pretty boy. And he's like, hey, great pipes, great set of pipes, huh? I've heard cats fuck with more harmony. Oh, God, I love this one. What are your names? Neil and Bob, or is that like what you do? Oh, and this one, yes, you're 10 seconds away from the most embarrassing moment of your life. And I also love so many arseholes, so few bullets. Yeah. And classic, Clint Eastwood, I fucked him.
We say that one all the time, too.
Yeah. Oh, God. And this inner monologue, because Ford Fairlane does these, like, inner monologue things. And he's like, conversation with Zuzu Petals was like masturbating with a cheese grater. Slightly amusing, but mostly painful. And I feel that on so many levels, so many times in my life. And here's one that Amy and I actually say to each other a bit. Here's to you, sucking my dick. And yeah, gotta love the classic line from Johnny Crunch when he sees Ford Fairlane. Suzuki Samurai, you Bensonhurst piece of shit. Love it. Oh, right, yeah. And another monologue that I love, could have been a fisherman. Fishermen, they get up, they fish, they sell fish, they smell fish. Reminds me of this girl I used to go with, Yvonne. She smelled like fish. Ah, oh, yes. And one line that I absolutely love. I love them all. What am I saying? What? You didn't really think we'd kill a fucking koala bear now, did you? Love it. And
I love how he gets that koala bear is because the storyline is that he did a job for INXS and they didn't actually pay him with money, they just gave him a koala. And then he goes, fucking Australians.
Yeah, fucking Australians. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, God. Another one that I jotted down. I'm so terrific. I have my own toll-free number. 1-800-UNBELIEVABLE. And as a final one, I probably say this way too often. I said it in the last episode. So I'm going to say it again. Un-fucking-believable. Yeah. Oh, yes. Oh, Andrew Dice Clay, I love you. Here's to you. Sucking my dick.
Sucking my dick.
It is absolutely underrated film. Not many people even know about it. When I talked about it today at work, my coworker had no idea. So, yeah.
I had only seen this movie before you had introduced it to me because my housemate at the time could not believe that I had not seen it. And he came home drunk one night and said, right, we're watching it. He fell asleep on the couch while I continued to watch the whole movie and I didn't really get it. And then Bianca said, oh, no. You got to watch it when you're plastered. It is so funny when you're drunk. And I was like, okay. And yeah, it was. It's hilarious. Yeah. In fact, Sarah hates this movie. Well, so she says. But then when you put it on, you look across at her. She's laughing. She's laughing.
Not really.
You are.
Maybe laughing at you too, but
I do. Oh, where is it? Where is it? I should have put it down. Hold on. It's on my list, which is not on that screen. Let me find it. From when Colleen Sutton goes to Ford Fairlane to get him to find the same girl that Johnny Crunch has asked him to find. She look around his place and he says, oh, does my house disgust you? And she says, nothing disgusts me. At age 11, I walked in on my father and the Shetland pony. Does that excite you? And Fawn says, I don't know. I never met your father. Oh, God. Where he wakes up and the music is alarm clock and the whole house is blaring music and the girls go, Fawn, we just want to be held. And he's like, do my dishes. Love it.
Oh, God. Love it.
It has so many good lines. People, just watch it. The lines will get stuck in your head for the rest of your life. You'll thank me. You're welcome.
You're welcome.
All right, that's me. Done and dusted, and I hope y'all watch it. Amy, what have you got?
Wow. Thinking about doing this topic, I was a bit like, oh, I have so many underrated films that I could talk about, but they're all a bit dark and a bit grim. Most of them are either legal or political dramas. And yeah, it doesn't really make great things for a comedy podcast. Nah. So I decided.
You're going, yeah, boring.
Yeah, boring. Yeah. So I decided, I'm going to have a look at a few other movies because often I look at the list and I'm like, oh, I love that film. So I started looking at underrated movies lists on the internet and I came across one which I love so much and it is really good film. My underrated film is Scott Pilgrim vs. the World. This movie was made in 2010 and was based on a graphic novel series called Scott Pilgrim. It stars Michael Cera as Scott Pilgrim, who is a slacker musician who must win a competition to get a record deal and battle the seven evil exes of his newest girlfriend, Ramona Flowers, who is played by Mary Elizabeth Winstead. So, the movie is told in the style of a video game, which is really hard to explain, but when you watch it, you'll get it. It also has some comic book style imagery, which is pretty cool, considering it's actually not a superhero movie.
Yeah.
I've only really seen it done in superhero films. So using the Battle of the Bands plot, it uses real bands for the basis of each fictional group, including Beck and Metric, with the actors also performing in those bands. So the film was a box office disaster that failed to meet its $85 million budget. However, it received very positive reviews from critics who noted the film's visual style and humor, and it eventually gained a cult following. Scott Pilgrim vs. the World has made up several top 10 lists and received over 70 awards and nominations. It was shortlisted for the Best Visual Effects category in the Academy Awards.
Actually, yes. To be honest, the first time I watched this movie, fucking hated it. And it took years for me to go back and rewatch it. And the reason I watched it, because I didn't like Michael Cera, I watched it for Kieran Culkin. But, yeah.
Kieran Culkin.
Me too.
He's so good.
I hated this film. Like, hated it. And I could see why it's underrated. Because if you watched it once and hated it, but didn't go back and rewatch it, and because like the first time sort of just watching it, but then the second time paid more attention. Like I noticed different things that I didn't see the first time, and I was like, oh, actually, I like this film. And I did. I've watched it several times now.
I did a similar thing where I kind of just, I think I was watching it, but not watching it.
Yeah,
I didn't really understand what the fuck was going on, but I laughed at the bits that were funny, so I actually went back and watched it a second time and then started to like it, and then the more I've watched it, the more I pick up on more things, and I love this movie. I think it's hilarious. So in Toronto, 22-year-old Scott Pilgrim is a bassist for his unsuccessful indie garage band called Sex for Bob. It's spelt Sex, S-E-X, Bob, B-O-B, dash, OMB. So there is a scene where there's a guy at the Battle of the Bands who's introducing this band and he goes, give it up for Sex Bob Omb. And no one's cheering or anything except for Kieran Culkin who's in the back. And then, their drummer is this chick and she, every time the lead singer goes, hit it, and she goes, we have Sex Bob Omb! One, two, three, four! And it's so good. Yeah, so it's Sex Bob Omb. That's how you say it. I don't know. It's weird. He happens to be dating Knives Shao, who is a 17-year-old high school student, and his friends don't like her. His roommate is Wallace Wells, who's played by Kieran Culkin, and his younger sister is Stacey Pilgrim, played by Anna Kendrick. Scott meets an American Amazon delivery girl named Ramona Flowers, and after first seeing her in a dream, he loses interest in knives, but he doesn't break up with her. No! Why would you do that? That's dumb. And he pursues Ramona. Then when Sex Bomb plays at the Battle of the Bands, sponsored by record executive Gideon Graves, Scott is attacked by Ramona's ex-boyfriend, Matthew Patel. Scott defeats Patel and learns that in order to date Ramona, he must defeat her remaining six evil exes. Scott finally breaks up with Knives, who blames Ramona, swears to win him back, blah blah blah. Meanwhile, Scott proceeds to get attacked by and defeats the next three of Ramona's exes, which are Hollywood actor and skateboarder Lucas Lee, played by Chris Evans, super-powered vegan Todd Ingram, and lesbian ninja Roxy Richter, I think her name is. Also, while confronting his own ex, pop star Envy Adams, played by Brie Larson. However, Scott grows frustrated with this process, and after an outburst regarding Ramona's dating history, she breaks up with him. Well, fuck you, mate. Whatever. Yeah. At the next Battle of the Band, Sex Bob defeats Ramona's fifth and sixth evil exes, twins Kyle and Ken. I can't say this. It's Katayangi, earning Scott an extra life. Now, this bit's important. Yeah. So you got an extra life because we're going along with a video game sort of thing, right? So despite this, Ramona appears to get back with her seventh evil ex, Gideon. Yeah. So Sex with Bob accepts Gideon's record deal, except Scott, who quits the band in protest. Gideon invites Scott to his venue, the Chaos Theater, where Sex with Bob is playing. Resolving to win Ramona back, Scott challenges Gideon to a fight for her affection, earning him the Power of Love sword. Knives interrupts the battle, attacking Ramona, and Scott is forced to reveal that he cheated on both of them. Gideon kills Scott, and Ramona visits him in limbo to reveal that Gideon has implanted her with a mind control device. Scott uses his extra life and re-enters the Chaos Theater. He makes peace with his friends and challenges Gideon again, this time for himself, gaining the Power of Self-Respect sword. Yeah, this is just, it's crazy. Yes, we all know that the end of this movie is mental. Anyway. After apologizing to Ramona and Knives for cheating on them, he's accepted his own faults. Scott and Knives join forces to defeat Gideon. Free from Gideon's control, Ramona prepares to leave. Knives accepts that her relationship with Scott is over, and at her encouragement, he leaves with Ramona to try again. Yes. It's basically the movie in a nutshell. Hands down, my favorite character in this film is Wallace, the roommate, who's Kerry Culkin. And he has the best lines of this whole movie. There's this one scene where they're watching a band and he's been heckling them all night. Like, he's just an asshole. And he says another line to them that was really horrible. And the lead singer turns around and says, "This one goes out to that guy on the balcony. It's called We Hate You. Please Die." Wallace turns to Scott and goes, "Sweet! I love this one." Oh, my other favorite scene with Wallace is when he comes home to the apartment he shares with Scott, crashes through the door and yells, "Guess he's drunk."
Yeah, because how many times do we see that?
Anger and I do this all the time. Yeah.
Guess he's drunk.
Yeah, guess he's drunk. Yay! Look, it's cheesy, it's a bit cringy, it's really bizarre. However, it is a good film and I do recommend that you take the time to watch it. Just to add on a little bit of my segment, I struggled a little bit when I really started to dive into underrated movies because I just realized how many underrated movies I actually really like. So the other one that I was considering doing is a movie called The World's End, and that's got Simon Pegg and Nick Frost. Definitely go and watch this film. It is very much along the lines of all Simon Pegg and Nick Frost films, except that one with the alien. That's totally off-brand for them. It's real weird.
Some internet thing where the Cornetto trilogy was sort of like voted to which one's the best, and it was freaking Hot Fuzz, and I'm like, are you fucking for reals right now?
Because
The World's End is so much better.
I liked Hot Fuzz, but The World's End is definitely better. Shaun of the Dead's probably my least favorite.
No, that's my second favorite.
Yeah,
the world can do without Hot Fuzz.
Oh, I like Hot Fuzz. And the last one that I wanted to mention, which I think is highly underrated, but it was also a bit dark, so I didn't really want to get into it, was V for Vendetta.
Oh yes, I have the graphic novel. It is amazing.
If you have not seen that film, it's got Natalie Portman and what's his name, the Australian bloke, Hugo Weaving.
Yeah.
If you have not seen V for Vendetta, go and watch it. It is really bloody good. It's really good. It's loosely based around the Guy Fawkes thing. Yeah. What is that?
Remember the
5th of November?
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
But it, if you're not into watching movies, definitely read the graphic novel. It is also amazing. The amount of V words is just incredible. It is very well written, and they stuck to that pretty much going from the book to the movie. Like, it translates very, very well, having read and watched. Yeah.
Yeah, it's one of those things where you just think, okay, I don't know really what I'm getting into, but then when you actually dissect the film, it's just so relevant for so many things. I'm not going to get into it because I'll be here forever. So, yeah, definitely V for Vendetta was the other one. The other one I just wanted to quickly mention because it just entered my mind when Bianca was talking, was The Perks of Being a Wallflower. That movie... is amazing.
Yeah. So I watched that with Sarah, for sure.
Yeah. That was a good movie.
It really was.
It really, really was a good film. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, well, basically it's Hermione and the new Flash, and they're in a movie together. So go watch it.
Don't forget Percy Jackson.
Yeah.
And Percy Jackson. Yeah. Percy Jackson, Hermione, and the new Flash, they're all in a movie together. Go find it. It's good.
I'll read the V for Vendetta speech. You can always edit it out if you don't want it. So, voila, in view of humble vaudevillian veteran cast vicariously as both victim and villain by vicissitudes of fate, the visage no more veneer of vanity. It is visage of the vox populi, now vacant, vanished at once the vital voice of the verisimilitude of venerate what they once vilified. However, this valerious visitation of a bygone vexation stands vilified and has vowed to vanquish these venal and virulent vermin vanguardian vice and vouchsafing the violently vicious and voracious of violation of volition. The only verdict is vengeance of vendetta has held a volitive in vain, for the value and veracity of this shall one day vindicate the vigilant and virtuous. Verily, this vicious of verbiage veers of verbose vis-a-vis an introduction. And so, my very good humour to meet you, you may call me V.
Or he could have just yelled Expelliarmus and then been done with it.
I love it. The way that they, oh God, it was said so well. And like, it's so much easier to read than say. Like, as an actor, I would have had to, yeah, I fucked so many words up. So like, there's no way I would have learnt that word off my heart.
And I feel like that was really well read by you, because that was the djinn talking.
It was definitely the djinn talking. Hello, djinn.
Hello, djinn.
My friend.
Hello, Jim, my old friend. All right, that's me out. I'm done. Don't let me talk any longer because I'm going to find more that, were underrated.
Yeah. I mean, there were tons of underrated movies, and, I mean, I didn't really research this topic this week because as soon as underrated movies was put down as a topic in our topic sheet, I was like, vaudevilling! It's like, I'm doing this because I fucking love it. But yes, I usually do have fun researching topics, as I do with all the other topics. However, we would love some topic suggestions from y'all. If you have a topic which you would like us to discuss, email us at fridaynightwifi@gmail.com. And to everyone who has listened to this, we would like to thank each and every one of you for your time in listening to all of that rubbish. We just really spoke from our hearts, and we spoke about our love of underrated movies.
As shit as they may be.
Yeah, yeah. I definitely think we should do a Z-grade film one. Sarah and I will absolutely dominate. And Amy would have to actually watch a Z-grade movie. So, yes,
I'm just going to cry under the desk, yeah. Okay?
So we hope that you have found this entertaining, and I'm not using any of those facts discussed in this recording, to make important decisions in your lives, unless it's to watch the movies. And then we say, go do it!
Do it.
Right.
Do it now.
Do it. Okay, people. Thank you and good night.
Good night. Bye.
Bye.